Blog Talk Radio.
Sidekick Publications is the newest place for all your martial arts informational needs. My Karate, Introduction to American Wadaru, Martial Arts Guide to Success, History of Japanese Martial Arts, Taizanru Taiho Jitsu, and the new Martial Directory. With martial art master instructors like Michael DePasquale Jr., Joe Miller, Alan Woodman, and many more. Everything for martial arts enthusiasts, techniques, shiatsu, history, all in one place. Available at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble's, and bookstores near you. Also available on digital downloads for Kindle and ebook readers. Visit our website at www.sidekickpublication.com and order your books today. Remember, Sidekick Publications, all the action you can read.
Shotokan Karate, the ancient Japanese martial art of self-defense. Come to the Dento Takina Dojo, the headquarters of the International Karate Do Association, 381 Canal Place, Suite 203, Bronx, New York. Learn traditional Shotokan Karate from certified black belt instructors from the U.S. and Japan. Kata, Kumite, and Culture, official training center of the New York Guardian Angels. Kids, teens, and adult classes available. Call 917-383-8787 for more information. Dento Takina Dojo, headquarters for the International Karate Do Association, 381 Canal Place, Suite 203. Call 917-383-8787. Come get your karate on.
The Martial Arts History Museum is the first of its kind in the world, and it only exists with your support. Give generously to the museum and always listen to Sidekick Talk Radio.
Oh, that's right, Michael Matsuda. Always listen to Sidekick Talk Radio with your host, Alan Woodman, and co-host, Timmy Frisk. Wednesday, 12 noon. Sunday, 6 p.m. And to speak to the host, 347-237-4818. Welcome to the program, everybody. Martial Arts Talk Radio. Today is Thursday, January 17, 2013. We're broadcasting live from Wake Forest, North Carolina. Tonight's topic is combinations. Putting easy, very effective combinations together and practicing them in a way that you can do it safely and become used to putting an attack together that allows you to do some of your favorite things, some of your favorite things that you learn at the dojo during class. Obviously, over the course of time, you come away with certain things that that you feel comfortable with practicing. We give you a lot of different things to utilize, but after time, and after some, due process and practice, you start to favor certain things, certain techniques that work for you. Now, this is especially important when you wind up in a situation where you're working with a partner and you're trying to go from the beginning of the attack, work the middle of the attack, which gets you into position to finish. So those are the three sections that we would like to break down and talk about. Let me preface it by saying that most of the time, even during the Q ranks, we are teaching what Sensei McGrath would call different types of deception moves, sort of, putting out the bait and getting them to take the bait so that you can execute and set up properly the technique that you're practicing and that you're using. Now, having said, most people, when this section of the class comes around, one of the key issues is, what do you want to work on tonight? Well, the normal response that usually comes back from most of the students is that they like to get into a situation where it's a one-on-one and then a two-on-one to be able to use the techniques in a way that when you break them down, the beginning of the attack, the middle of the attack, meaning the, you know, the logistics of how you set up your step, your footwork, your what you're doing with your hands and your feet, and then, of course, you know, being able to control and finish. So what we'd like to take a look at is how you go about using basically the art of deception to deceive your opponent, make them think that you're looking to do something that has nothing to do with what you're actually trying to execute. So what that means is each time you work with your partner and do it from a you don't want to repeat the same movements over and over and over again, because then it gets too routine. So you want to change it every time. Each sequence that you do, you want to make sure that you don't get into, one, any bad habits. You want to pay strict attention to your feet and how you're stepping, where you're placing your feet. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to look down, but what it does mean is you have to be aware of your surroundings. Using certain body mechanics and movements to get the opponent committed to trying to, let's say, deceive them. What you want to do is you want to use a succession of moves that may not mean anything other than getting the opponent to commit. There are many different ways of doing that, whether you do it by touching the opponent or making a sudden movement to get them to either move their guard or drop their guard, and then stepping into the circle in that, whether it be in a circular movement or in a straight line movement, getting to the point where you are close enough to the opponent that you're not reaching or creating weight by being off balance. That's very important. So you have to, when you move around in the circle, you must never try to step in a way that you would, you know, you would create weight, which means that at that moment you could be slightly off balance. Now, that's a very key issue, because obviously, if you're not balanced properly in your attack, if your attacker has any skills, they're going to take advantage of that. So it's one of the key components that we work on, watching the way you step around when being attacked. In our style, we do have provisions made when it comes to different stances under different types of attacks that you can use. Now, a basic stance in Seisan stance or in a side stance, which is Seiuchin, or even if you wanted to bring those knees together and point the toes in and get into a Mihachi stance, that's up to the individual. It depends on how well you have practiced to be able to believe in those stances that you know that you are on balance. But getting in now, getting whether the person's, let's say, throwing a kick or a punch at you or swinging something at you, being able to use that momentum and then step around and allow the momentum to drive. When I say drive, what I mean by that is because they are swinging something at you, there's energy there, there's momentum there. Well, rather than try to stop the momentum, keep it going, use the flow of that momentum. Now, let's talk about, for argument's sake, let's say that it's a couple of punches that they're, you know, they step into your circle and they try to hit you, like, let's say, 3-4 times quickly. By using the proper stance, by utilizing the proper stance, you won't be there for those punches that are coming at you, because your mind will judge where you have to go to avoid those punches, which is one of the key elements in you being successful in this drill. Because if you choose to meet that momentum, you run the risk of being hit, because obviously you can't block everything. So being able to utilize your footwork to make sure that whatever you use to block is just a backup. It's just something that, you know, as you're stepping, if there is something that's close enough to you that you have to utilize as a block to use the momentum now to get to basically continue that momentum. Okay, so there's the I guess the science of it. If you're stepping when they're attacking and you're not a stationary target, it makes it a little bit harder for them to have to adjust their strikes, because you are moving. You're stepping either on the angle, you're stepping around in that circular motion, or you're using the straight line. And when you break the circle up into segments like that, what happens is you start to learn that by practicing and seeing how your continuation of the momentum is working for you, basically using some very simple, very applicable techniques. It doesn't require any real degree of difficulty, especially when you're being bum-rushed. Because most people, when they're going to attack you, they're going to throw a succession of either punch or kicks, or strikes, I should say, and it's going to be in a momentous fashion. They're going to throw momentum at you. So that means you have to use that momentum by using your footwork and your technique to take the momentum and use it against the opponent. So that's the breakdown of how you want to apply your response to the aggression. Now, when that comes into your space, when the aggression comes into your space, how you step around and how you deal with gaining control of what they're throwing at you. Now, what I mean by that is, if it's a leg or an arm, or they're swinging something at you, you want to take your split-second timing to take your time, step properly, so that you're not there when the swing comes at you, whether it's an arm, a leg, or something swinging, someone swinging something at you. You want to take your time at that moment in a split second to make sure you step away from the aggression, close the body off, and then use whether it's the circular step, straight line, or angle step. So in breaking down all of the different segments of that, what we do is we call it a beginning, the middle, meaning where you're stepping and how you're dealing with the circle, using the momentum of the circle, and then how you're going to finish, you know, the logistic of how you set up the finish, whether it be, there are different types of finishing moves, obviously, but based on a street application, if there's only one attacker, you may want to control the attacker in such a way that should they continue, you would be able to break that joint. Now, looking at the beginning, the middle, and the finish, obviously the beginning is a critical point because if you make a mistake and you do get hit, obviously the result may be devastating. So you wanna practice this drill in such a way that you actually take your time to allow the attacker to commit. As I said, most street fights are going to occur where they're throwing, you know, punches with both hands, and if they're skilled, punches and kicks. So what you have to do is make your footwork your absolute defense. It really doesn't even matter what you do with your hands. It matters what you do with your feet. Because if you're in a position where you're vulnerable, then the strike will get to you. You don't want to let the strike actually get to you. So that's why you have to actually take your time and be level-headed, which is very, very difficult to do, especially when you're scared. And that's why you have to drill, because it has to become a flinch response, not a thought process. So in combination training, obviously you start slowly and you work your speed up, but what you're really, really practicing in the very beginning is where you belong when that strike comes at you. Now, what Sensei McGrath would do to drill this is he would put things in our hands, and we would have to swing them at you. Now, when you're swinging something at somebody, you're adding distance because you have something in your hand. It is an extension of your hand. So dealing with that space is very critical. Obviously, we train in our art with bow, with sai, with tomfa, and it adds distance to your hand. So there are two ways that we drill that, empty hand and with something in your hand. Now, when you start to train with something in your hand, the beginning segment, that split second where you step is critical because obviously they have something in the hand. They have they can cover more distance than you can. So that's when the circle now becomes absolutely an essential part and component of your footwork. Why you step in the fashion you do, because it is actually part of the defense of the attack. How you're actually stepping at that moment provides you with the opportunity to use the footwork as defense and then the hands as offense. Now, how do you get good at this? How do you actually make it as real as possible? What we've done is, over the years, we find out that, you know, having pads helps because when you make a mistake, you know, the pad sort of takes up the impact to a degree. It's not that it's a fail-safe. Pads are not the answer, especially if you're dealing with somebody that has a heavy hand. It still hurts, but they do allow a certain degree of protection. So we pad you up real good. We get you ready to be hit with some full-fledged strikes. If I see that, the attacker is getting through the pads and it's starting to hurt, then, I don't want them to lighten it up, but I want them to be cautious of their strikes. So, you know, that's a whole nother topic, you know, how you can practice safely, which we will have a show on that. We will, try to share with the audience that, you know, practicing safe is the primary goal. But you don't want to compromise practicing safe for creating bad habits. Because on the street, there are no rules, so you don't know, I mean, what's going to happen. And if you train in such a way that, you know, it's not effective, then when you get on the, if God forbid you ever get into a situation, what I'm giving you has to work. So I don't want you to come back saying, well, you know, it didn't work. So that's why the training aspect and training your body to react in a way that when you're attacked, what you do with your feet and where you step is the most key component of the success of what's going to turn out. So if you absolutely practice your timing and your drills, and you have full-fledged attackers in the dojo trying to get you to the ground, which would be the mission. You know, when we send one in, when we send two in, three in, four in, five in, we try to get you to the ground. Now, using that type of a randori session, what happens is all of the yukis, you know, are programmed to do certain things so as not to build a routine. When we send you in, of course, there are certain things that you're working on, which is essentially your footwork, especially on the multiple attacker conditions. But when you're working one-on-one, you want to try to use that time and that practice to be as realistic as possible. Now, that also means that the person that, let's use the term uki, the person that you're working with has to also consider in their attack trying not to give way to the safety factor. Now, that's a fine balance because trying to make it as real as possible and practicing safe does present the problem, because no matter how much you do it, you want to make sure that when you do it, you're getting the best result out of that time spent practicing that drill. I will, in certain instances, try to up the ante by, as I said, trying to send in multiple attackers to press you and you know, try to scare you as best as possible, knowing that now you don't only have to step in a direction for one attacker, but now you have to step in multiple directions and deal with multiple attackers. So that means as your attackers are committing to hit you, your footwork is the key to your success as to not being there and not getting hit. This is no easy task, especially if you're trying to make it as real as possible. You know, you will get grazed. You will, you know, there will be strikes that will get through until you learn the art of deception, learn the, you know, the directional blocking system, learn the footwork that's required to ensure your success. And again, practice in such a way that it becomes a flinch response and not a thought process. It has to just come out of you. And, you know, we talk about that quite frequently on the program, so that seems to be a consistent response from all the masters, that being able to practice to teach yourself how to control the adrenaline, which is very, very important, because if the adrenaline gets released and you spend your gas, you're going to lose the fight. So everybody's human. Everybody has that feature in them where when they get scared, you know, the adrenaline comes out, heart rate goes up, thought process becomes dimmed. This is also another part of the training. That's why we spend the time working these drills, because we want you to become familiar with what's required and how you're supposed to behave and react under these types of conditions. And then to work those conditions now and make those conditions worse and worse and worse, meaning not just indoors, but outdoors, in different situations, in rain, in snow, when it's hot, when it's cold, when it's windy. The reason why you do that is because you can never practice enough. You never have enough time spent on this issue, no matter how long you live, because every moment of every attack can be different, can be coming from a different angle, can be coming from multiple attackers. So no matter how much you try to practice, you know, there's always other things that can happen. You trip and fall, and now you have multiple attackers trying to get you while you're on the ground. And if they use weight, it's difficult. I mean, it's you know, the physics dictates then at that point. And that's another point that you have to think about. The physics of one attacker, two attackers, three attackers, four attackers, or multiple attackers presents different rules of physics, because of now it's just not one set of momentum being, you know, thrown at you. It may be several sets of momentum being thrown at you, which means you have to deal with that weight. Dealing with the weight, you know, the weight of a strike has, you know, its physical composition. If you're that far into your technique, you will realize that the best way to deal with that is to just not be there. And that means you have to step properly. That means you have to train your eye and your body and your footwork to react in a moment's notice, in a split second notice, as to where you belong. Where do I put my feet? How do I get away from that strike? And then if you step properly and position yourself properly, the middle of the attack becomes, I don't want to say easier, but more available. And then the finish, because you are in control now, the finish, all depending on what you're looking to do, also becomes a little bit more available. Let me put it that way. Yeah, there's always a struggle going on. You're not just going to submit. So you're going to struggle. So in that struggle, you will have, you know, some variables that you'll have to deal with. But, you know, again, we will continue the topic as required, because it is a work in progress. So what we're going to do is we're going to run a couple of commercials and close the show for tonight. I do want to give a shout out to Sidekick Talk Radio with Sheehan Allen Woodman and Renchi Timmy Prisk. This show airs every Wednesday at 12 noon, every Sunday at 8 p.m. And to speak to the host, you can dial 347-237-4818. And that's 2 hours each show. So that's a total of 4 hours a week. And then we have another shout-out to Sifu Alan Goldberg, Action Power Hour radio show, every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. And to speak to the host, Sifu Alan Goldberg, you can dial 713-955-0323. And remember, that's Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The extravaganza is coming up, and, you know, it's going to be a wonderful event. I wish I could be there this year, but I won't be able to make it. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Sidekick Publications is the newest place for all your martial arts informational needs. My Karate, Introduction to American Wadaru, Martial Arts Guide to Success, History of Japanese Martial Arts, Taizanru Taiho Jitsu, and the new Martial Directory. With martial art master instructors like Michael DePasquale Jr., Joe Miller, Alan Woodman, and many more. Everything for martial arts enthusiasts, techniques, shiatsu, history, all in one place. Available at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble's, and bookstores near you. Also available on digital downloads for Kindle and ebook readers. Visit our website at www.sidekickpublication.com and order your books today. Remember, Sidekick Publications, all the action you can read.
Shotokan Karate, the ancient Japanese martial art of self-defense. Come to the Dento Takina Dojo, the headquarters of the International Karate Do Association, 381 Canal Place, Suite 203, Bronx, New York. Learn traditional Shotokan karate from certified black belt instructors from the U.S. and Japan. Kata, Kumite, and Culture, official training center of the New York Guardian Angels. Kids, teens, and adult classes available. Call 917-383-8787 for more information. Dento Takina Dojo, headquarters for the International Karate Do Association, 381 Canal Place, Suite 203. Call 917-383-8787. Come get your karate on.
The Martial Arts History Museum is the first of its kind in the world, and it only exists with your support. Give generously to the museum and always listen to Sidekick Talk Radio.
Sidekick Publications is the newest place for all your martial arts informational needs. My Karate, Introduction to American Wadaru, Martial Arts Guide to Success, History of Japanese Martial Arts, Taizanru Taiho Jitsu, and the new Martial Directory. With martial art master instructors like Michael DePasquale Jr., Joe Miller, Alan Woodman, and many more. Everything for martial arts enthusiasts, techniques, shiatsu, history, all in one place. Available at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble's, and bookstores near you. Also available on digital downloads for Kindle and ebook readers. Visit our website at www.sidekickpublication.com and order your books today. Remember, Sidekick Publications, all the action you can read.
Shotokan Karate, the ancient Japanese martial art of self-defense. Come to the Dento Takina Dojo, the headquarters of the International Karate Do Association, 381 Canal Place, Suite 203, Bronx, New York. Learn traditional Shotokan karate from certified black belt instructors from the U.S. and Japan. Kata, Kumite, and Culture, official training center of the New York Guardian Angels. Kids, teens, and adult classes available. Call 917-383-8787 for more information. Dento Takina Dojo, headquarters for the International Karate Do Association, 381 Canal Place, Suite 203. Call 917-383-8787. Come get your karate on.
Martial Arts History Museum is the first of its kind in the world, and it only exists with your support. Give generously to the museum and always listen to Sidekick Talk Radio.
Sidekick Publications is the newest place for all your martial arts informational needs. My Karate, Introduction to American Wadaru, Martial Arts Guide to Success, History of Japanese Martial Arts, Taizanru Taiho Jitsu, and the new Martial Directory. With martial art master instructors like Michael DePasquale Jr., Joe Miller, Alan Woodman, and many more. Everything for martial arts enthusiasts, techniques, shiatsu, history, all in one place. Available at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble's, and bookstores near you. Also available on digital downloads for Kindle and ebook readers. Visit our website at www.sidekickpublication.com and order your books today. Remember, Sidekick Publications, all the action you can read.
Shotokan Karate, the ancient Japanese martial art of self-defense. Come to the Dento Takina Dojo, the headquarters of the International Karate Do Association, 381 Canal Place, Suite 203, Bronx, New York. Learn traditional Shotokan Karate from certified black belt instructors from the U.S. and Japan. Kata, Kumite, and Culture, official training center of the New York Guardian Angels. Kids, teens, and adult classes available. Call 917-383-8787 for more information. Dento Takina Dojo, headquarters for the International Karate Do Association, 381 Canal Place, Suite 203. Call 917-383-8787. Come get your karate on.
The Martial Arts History Museum is the first of its kind in the world, and it only exists with your support. Give generously to the museum and always listen to Sidekick Talk Radio.